Great to be with you. It's 20 minutes to 1 o'clock here now. The boss of the Melbourne Greyhound Racing Association, Ash Baker, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Ash.
Good afternoon, Gareth. Thanks for having me again.
It's exciting, mate. We'll get stuck into the racing straight away because this is fresh off the press. The heats of the Australian Cup and also the Super Stays have just been released. Now, heat number 3, Shimmer Shine's drawn box number 1 and takes on some stars of the sport, like Hardstyle Rico, Box 2, Circle of Dreams 3, Sipping Clive 4, Christo Bale, Box number 5, Love Your Booty 6, Barcy of Prince in 7, and Baruga Brett in Box number 8. So he's one of the stars of Greyhound Racing. He's back from injury and he gets Box 1.
Yeah, look, you wouldn't be a fool to think that that's a group race, not just a heat of the Australian Cup with some of those greyhounds that we just went through. Look, he's drawn well in the red. I think if he shows his normal speed from the boxes, he'll find the rail and be very hard to beat from there. But he's up against some really nice greyhounds that will surely make it a competitive heat.
So Simon Told Helen is in heat number 3. He has come up with box number 2 after missing the kick in the Temley last Saturday night. Just having a look at some of the other heats here as well. So we've got Simon Told Helen, who was the pre-post favourite, box 2, which is a good box for him.
Yeah, it's a good box. With his box speed, he'll certainly won't have too much trouble. You wouldn't think getting across Dinah Chancer, who's returning from a long layoff and does prefer the longer trip. But there are some pretty fast dogs in there with Shimmer Breeze, who returns from New South Wales after running some really good times in both Victoria and New South Wales its last couple of starts. So, look, if he's come through that Temley mishap in good shape, then he'll certainly be hard to beat from there.
Whiskey Wright, the Temley champ, the Melbourne Cup champ, box number 4. Who told Stevie box number 8 in that particular heat? And then we've got Tigalong Tonk, who Troy Little gave a really good push for the other day at a big price, box number 2. Mapunga Daniel, box 1. And then we've got Vital Force, box 8. Flynn in box number 8 there, I should say. Vital Force, box number 6. And just looking at a few of the other heats, Mapunga Pegasus, Onions O'Reilly, box 1. Can we see any other? The Waging War, box number 5 in his heat.
Yeah, look, just having a quick look. Obviously, these only landed in between us sitting down and going on air. But Tigalong Tonk, it's heat 6, which is race 9 for the night. That he's probably found himself a really nice heat compared to some of the other ones where you've got Whiskey Ride in an earlier heat. And same again with Waging War, even though he's drawn awkwardly in box 5. Probably finds a slightly easier heat than some of the others when you're avoiding dogs like Whiskey Riot, Simon Told Helen, Shimmer Shine, and so on. So the last couple of heats are an interesting, both interesting races.
And what about this greyhound that's only had the 7 starts? Jim Sardashian has come up with box number 2.
Yeah, look, that's in heat 8, so that's the final heat of the night. Look, he was beaten, I think, just last start at Sandown, but prior to that had been setting the clock alight. So from box 2, you'd think he'll be explosive from the box and be pretty hard to beat from there.
How did you wrap up and analyse your opening night with turnover? And also, I was there at the Meadows on Saturday night, my first time at the Meadows, and it was a great atmosphere. There was plenty of families there. You're nice and close to the action. I thought the MCs did a wonderful job as well, Molly Haynes and James Vandermart, to capture that atmosphere. So a couple of big ticks for mine, Ash. But from your point of view, was it a tick or a cross?
Yeah, look, it was definitely a tick. It's my first Australian Cup carnival. Yep. The weather was terrible on Saturday. Yep. It rained right through till about 4 or 5 o'clock, and it was still quite cool and miserable throughout the evening. So we got close to 2,000 on course, which I think is a good result. Good demographic, a good mix of demographic. We had families and we have lots of young people enjoying the night. It was the first time we'd used Molly and James in tandem, and I thought that worked really well. They were engaging the crowd. There was a lot of people outside coming down to watch the races from the track, which was a good sign of the atmosphere throughout the night. So, definitely a pass mark. This week we sort of shift the focus to the heats and the quality of racing. So we're promoting sort of cheap drinks throughout the evening and trying to get some of the punters on track to enjoy what's probably the best night of racing on the year anywhere around the country.
Mikey Velasaris would love this. It's $2.50 pots, is that right?
Yeah, all night, $2.50 pots and $3.50 schooners.
Well, you can't really go wrong, can you, Mikey? You're in your middle 20s. If you're out and about and you've played some cricket or your football and you just wanted to have some fun with a group of mates, like, you can't buy a pot for $2.50 these days, can you?
No, you can't, and that's what gets people to the tracks. Cheap beers. I know, talking to my mates, they want cheap beers. So, yeah. You can't go wrong going there for sure.
Plus, they want entertainment, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, we've had free entry for a few years now, and that's obviously helped with some of the participation on course. But I think you've got to make things affordable for people. We've seen that across all the codes about the affordability of going out for a day or a night at the races. And I think there's some of the sacrifices as a club we need to make sure we increase our engagement and keep people coming through the gates.
And on Saturday night, as you pointed out, and I always go back to a quote after a preliminary final victory from Damien Hardwick, he said he always gets a lot more nervous on preliminary final night and they're harder to win than the grand finals. And it's like heat night for such a big race in greyhound racing. Because if you miss and don't perform, you're out of the ball game.
Absolutely. I think just looking through these heats now, they're eight quality heats for the Australian Cup, and no doubt some of the good dogs are going to have to miss out because there can only be one winner of each heat. So, it's a fascinating card of racing, and I think we're going to end up with a really good quality Australian Cup this year.
Can you talk us through the process of actually getting the Australian Cup now on free-to-air TV? And in your eyes, why is that important?
Yeah, look, so that's been an agenda pushed by Greyhound Racing Victoria, the CEO, Alan Clayton, and the chair, Peter Duncan, and some of their executives, including Lou Martin, have pushed really hard to increase the exposure through the commercial television network. So trying to mainstream the sport, show the general public that the sport has come a long way since 2015. There's a lot of good things happening in our industry and our participation is really strong. And this is just another way to get some cut through to the general public and hopefully showcase one of our biggest races in the country.
Because it's actually quite fun in this. Every 20 minutes a race is happening. Especially, they're wonderful athletes at their best too, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I think like the time you spent with Anthony Azzopardi, the way he spoke about Whiskey White and the attributes that dog possessed and the way he just was tough and knew how to get around and navigate and find the line and was so strong. I think that just proves the type of athletes they really are. And it's important that we showcase that. And it's also important to showcase how well we do it.
It's 12:48 here on RSN Central. Ash Baker's joining us here, the CEO of the Melbourne Greyhound Racing Association. It's night two of their carnival on Saturday night, and it's one of the best nights of racing that you'll ever see in the sport, with heats of the Super Stayers and also heats of the Australian Cup. You've come from a racing background, a thoroughbred background. Have you seen the improvement with people's mindsets regarding greyhound racing with the work that, say, especially your clubs or the clubs around Melbourne, but especially the work that JRV have been doing?
Absolutely. I tell a lot of people that ask me a very similar question, the story about when I landed in the Officer Racing, which was not long after the live baiting scandal and the subsequent reports were released. And I remember thinking to myself, how is the industry going to come out of this? Mm-hmm. How are they going to survive such a scandal and a controversy and such a public outcry? And credit to Alan and his team and the former chair, Bernie Carolan, and the executives, to the way that they built their integrity and compliance framework and focused primarily on getting animal welfare in check. We've come out of that in a very positive light, and now it's time to promote the sport.
From outside looking in, and especially now that you're in the inner sanctum of greyhound racing, and you've worked, of course, with the Pakula government in government and seeing how that side of the business works as well, do you get frustrated by animal activists, and especially with their uneducated theories on the sport of greyhound racing and how, at the end of the day, they're disrespectful to the industry participants who they treat like as terrible individuals?
It's a difficult one because it's my first experience having to deal with. We're having some pressure put on us at the moment at the Meadows. We've got a group that's been coming sort of every week for the last 6 weeks and are quoting factually incorrect information and also proving difficult for our patrons and participants entering and exiting the course. But I'm working with industry to try and mitigate that as much as you can. I think the important thing is to go about your business, be proud of the way you do it, and not simply not interact. It's, I think the less power you give them, the less voice they have. And but it's a difficult one because you can emotionally get attached to it because you're proud of the industry you work for, you're proud of the club you work for, and sometimes it does cut through a bit.
The best part what I've seen anyway was a couple of young individuals on their YouTube went and asked the questions back to those animal activists during the Melbourne Cup Carnival. In fact, just shut down their beliefs and their theories on what thoroughbred racing is all about. So unfortunately, those people need to be educated. And sometimes with their social media platforms and all that, they get far too much of a say without backing it up with facts.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the social media's provided a platform for them to certainly reach a lot further than they may have ever done. And the information they're promoting is certainly not factual, and therefore the information gets misconstrued, and it unravels and unravels, and then all of a sudden you've got this great big public pressure on you to perform within their boundaries instead of your own.
Saturday week, it's Australian Cup night. It'll be showcased all around the country on free-to-air TV, along with RSN on the radio, and of course Sky Racing and their active platform that they have there on their app. It should be one hell of a night. Now, we're organising a competition. I think next week we'll kick it all off and we can have 10 people. I think I'll be in the 10 as well, and we're going to have some fun. Mikey, you'll have to bring us some group of mates, mate. I think we can organise some tickets. But that will be a night that if you're thinking about heading to the Greyhounds, it's a night that you should go to and watch the best Greyhounds do battle.
Absolutely. The Canadian Club Lawn, as we're calling it, is an area that we're activating up on our terrace overlooking the track. It's the first time we've ever done something like that, but it's we're doing it to attract the younger crowd to come on course and support our industry and have a good night out. And for $50, you'll get a three-course feed, and I think four or five of your first drinks are included in that $50. So it's great value, and you've got a prime location on the track, and of course there'll be plenty of entertainment.
Yeah, we'll have some fun. I'll make sure I get the best mail possible, and I can hunt around for some good mail too at the Greyhounds, because there is, when it comes to greyhound punting, if you know a professional punter, because of the speed maps and which greyhounds go left and right out of the boxes, they're usually right on the money.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our regulars there every Wednesday and Saturday, and they'll certainly, and people like Troy, who I listened to yesterday, are such knowledgeable, and those little intricacies are the difference between sometimes tipping a winner and a loser.
Do you know what I love? I love Ronnie Hawkesville, and I went up and visited him for the social media at the Meadows, which was a lot of fun doing that on Saturday night, and the Hawks, he's got a prime spot for a race caller. That's like just below, about 15-second walk is the buffet. And if you want some advice on the best buffet going around at the Meadows, the Hawk's the man to let you know.
Oh, absolutely. He's been there for a long, long time. And look, as a part of this competition, I'm happy if we want to potentially take a group of three or four up there to watch a call being done with Ronnie in the background and see exactly what it's like up there.
Ash, thanks for joining us, mate. Jeez, it's been fun. Saturday night should be something else there. On Saturday night at the Meadows. And we might do a competition next Thursday, and we'll have a big quiz for those 10 tickets to give away for free for your mates, and some money to pump with as well. I'll think of some great questions too, so make sure you get ready. We'll do it around 11:30, so jot that down to win that competition, to have some fun at the Meadows.
Sounds good, Gareth. Thanks for having me, and we'll chat next week.
There's Ash Baker there, the boss of the Meadows. Mikey, now...